Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. If you're following the lectionary, we're going to back up and jump into Mark's gospel later. Today's lection from Mark's gospel I'm going to preach in March. But today the lection from the epistle is from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. This is from the Contemporary English Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord as it's recorded there. Now, concerning meat that has been sacrificed to a false god, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes people arrogant, but love builds people up. If anyone thinks they know something, they don't yet know as much as they should know. But if somebody loves God, then they are known by God. So concerning the actual food involved in these sacrifices to false gods, we know that a false god isn't anything in this world, and that there is no God except for the one God. Granted, there are so-called gods in heaven and on earth, as there are many gods and many lords. However, for us believers, there is one God, the Father. All things come from Him, and we belong to Him. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. All things exist through Jesus, and we live through Him. But not everybody knows this. Some are eating this food as though it really is food sacrificed to a real idol, because they were used to idol worship until now. Their conscience is weak because it has been damaged. Food won't bring us close to God. We're not missing out if we don't eat, and we don't have any advantage if we do eat. But watch out, or else this freedom of yours might be a problem for those who are weak. Suppose someone sees you, the person who has knowledge, eating in an idol's temple. Won't the person with the weak conscience be encouraged to eat the meat sacrificed to false gods? The weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. You sin against Christ if you sin against your brothers and sisters and hurt their weak consciences this way. This is why, if food causes the downfall of my brother or sister, I won't eat meat ever again, or else I may cause my brother or sister to fall. This is the word of the Lord. A Super Bowl party might include nachos, made with ground beef and guacamole with fresh lime and cilantro. Strips of skirt steak might be served on the side, some Mexican cheese, refried beans. That might be a good Super Bowl nacho. For lunch today, you might have pan-seared ocean scallops with a little cracked white pepper and some orange zest. Perhaps a little salt, but not too much. You don't need that for scallops. Pan-fried in Wisconsin butter. Chopped sage. Serve that over pasta and then put it in the refrigerator and serve it later with fresh vegetables as a cold salad in the summer. But in the winter, you might pull those scallops off the stove and put them right on that hot pasta and put some beautiful Alfredo sauce. Some simple foods don't cost much. Beans and rice, peanut butter and jelly, frozen pizza, 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. And my family, we were frugal by necessity. We didn't ever go out for lunch, but the rare occasions when we did and we ended up at McDonald's, I savored those Big Macs. Less so now. Food is good. It is a necessity and a delight. My mother's birthday cake, for example, the ice cream birthday cake, at birthdays was both a necessity and a delight. Food is a symbol of hospitality and celebration. But sometimes food stands in the way of hospitality, and it sinks a celebration. A Hindu brother or sister probably would not appreciate going to lunch or dinner or any time to McDonald's for a Big Mac. An alcoholic sister won't appreciate, and she might appreciate the invitation, but will not be able to go with you around the corner to that new bistro for drinks one evening. The person with the abscessed tooth would cringe at the thought of popcorn or peanut brittle. Others of us might not, but boy, if you have an abscessed tooth, you don't want that. A shellfish intolerant mother-in-law cannot have even one bite of perfectly fried chincoteague oyster with just the right amount of sea salt. It'll make her blow up like a balloon. And a diabetic or a heart patient really won't appreciate in the long run even a small piece of homemade chess pie. Good eats can be bad. And Paul knew this. In the age before much was known about nutrition, Paul understood that good eats can be bad. In the church in Corinth, there was a controversy about whether one should eat meat that had been offered to idols in idol worship. And Paul said, sure, that's fine. Meat is meat. Eat it. It's no problem. However, he said, not everybody believed that. And some, he said, with less knowledge, perhaps a weaker faith, believed that to eat food that had been sacrificed for idols in an idol temple was not good for the soul. To eat such meat was kind of like turning away from God. It was kind of like saying no to God. It was a sign of faithlessness. And to do so would be to be ashamed and not very Christian. That would not be, could not be part of Christian praxis to those people. So if Paul were to eat meat from a local temple, it would not only be a turnoff to some of the young Christians in Corinth, it might confuse them so much so that their faith would be hampered. A bit of tenderloin might be a meal to us, but to someone else, according to Paul, it could be a stumbling block. If those with weak faith see a believer eating a burger at an idol temple, their faith, says Paul, might be destroyed. So Paul is clear, crystal clear here. If eating meat offered to idols will hurt somebody in the church, don't eat it, at least not in front of them. And this isn't about first century political correctness. It's about love. Don't do something that will lead your brother or sister astray. That's not about love. Don't do something that will lead them astray. If serving a certain kind of meat on your table will harm your brother or sister, serve broccoli instead. Serve fried tofu. It's not about, of course, the food on your table. It's about the love around your table. And that's Paul's point. This is really not about food at all, is it? Paul's reminding the church, I think, not to major in the minors. Eating meat that has been sacrificed to idols is a minor thing. However, if it causes harm to a brother or sister, that gives us reason to pause, because hurting one another is not a minor thing. That's a major thing. We could all use this kind of spiritual generosity, this broad mutual forbearance, I think, in our culture nowadays. Our views about politics and religion, the teams we root for, go Chiefs. Our allegiances to one group or another, all of these things while they are important at a certain level, they are not ultimately important, and they definitely are not as important as our willingness to love and nurture and serve our neighbor. That's of an essential importance. Meat sacrifice to idols is not at the heart of the matter, but loving and nurturing and caring for one another, that is. That most assuredly is. Paul is talking about meat served to idols in temples in 1st century, 2nd century Corinth. But the message is valid for today. Conservative versus liberal is not essential. Old school versus new school, it's not essential. The blue versus the red is not essential. People in the church have never had and never will completely agree on these things. Love is at the heart of the matter, and on this we must agree. Why does Paul insist that we take such good care of the ties that bind us together? Why does Paul talk about or intimate this idea that we must be willing to swallow our pride, to listen more than we speak, to make a space for our brother and sister, even if their ways are a little different than our ways? Why does Paul think this is so important? Paul thinks this is important because he believes, and we do too, that the church, that the believers are the body of Jesus Christ on this earth. And when the ankle hurts, the whole body limps. So we rightly care for the whole body with generosity and love. Whether you eat meat served in a temple in idol worship is not really relevant unless it hurts somebody. And then that's worth really thinking about, pausing, taking a step back from. Because loving and serving and nurturing one another is, in fact, essential. It's at the heart of the matter. We ask our elders and deacons when they're installed and ordained lots of questions. Here's one of the questions. Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? I love that question. I think it's audacious. And notice it doesn't ask, will you reconcile the whole world? No. It asks, will you be a part of that essential work? I think it's a good question for all of us. Because if our answer is yes to that question, will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? If our answer is yes, then we agree to be attentive to those with whom we live and serve. We agree to care about them. And when their opinions matter so much, we can define ourselves, not necessarily agree, but we can give them space. And if they say eating meat offered in the sacrifice of idols is not something faithful people to do, then perhaps that's something we can not do. We can refrain from doing in order to support them and encourage them in their faith. Figuratively speaking, when it's our turn to cook, sometimes we're going to serve a rack of barbecue ribs with maybe Texas sauce or maybe Kansas City sauce, but other times, depending on who's at the table, we're going to serve broccoli casserole and tofu. And of course, it's not about what we cook in the kitchen. It's how we serve from the table with love, with nurture, with care, with utmost respect for our brother and sister, because together we are the body of Christ. May God help us in this kind of loving service. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you. As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you. O God, help us to find a holy rest, and rested in your grace, Help us to serve with compassion, for we ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.